listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, an economist breaks down the cost of tickets to sporting events and concerts, why scalpers get into the game, and how to fix things. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. This week, the plan to close the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison north of Wausau is starting to move through the state legislature. And a candidate for one of Wisconsin's U.S. Senate seats is making national headlines for political differences with his parents. Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Well, Rob, let's start with Lincoln Hills. We checked in with you when Governor Walker first announced his intention to close the controversial youth prison, replace it with regional facilities. Now it's in the legislature. What's going on right now?
Sure. So there was a long hearing yesterday. That was a hearing, a joint Senate and Assembly hearing. And then the Assembly committee considering this voted unanimously to pass the proposals on to the full Assembly. So this is the first time that that legislators have heard and voted on this proposal, and the fact that it was unanimous vote, it certainly is a signal that there's a bipartisan consensus around this, at least among those legislators, and it sure looks like it is on a fast track.
Here's Republican Representative Michael Schrah talking about the sense of urgency, but also concerns that this is moving pretty quick since there's not a lot of time left in the session.
I think all of us would prefer more time and more details. But please keep in mind that we have a very short window of opportunity. 10 years from now, will our counties be proud of their programs? Will they enjoy greater public safety and more productive outcomes for these youth? Or will they be blaming us for not acting when the time was right?
And speaking of those counties, representatives of counties in the state are a little nervous about how fast this is going. They want to make sure it gets thought through pretty well. Right, Rob?
Well, they want to avoid being stuck with a large bill. A part of the proposal is a certain number of regional state-run facilities. Those would be designated for what the state would consider higher risk youth offenders. So serious crimes, violent crimes, would be held in these state facilities. The other youth offenders who are now in Lincoln Hills, or who would go to a facility like Lincoln Hills, would be held by the counties in their own secure facilities. And so, you know, if you're a county, if you're a person, you know, a county person, that is a concern for you that comes with a price tag, and that is a new responsibility that the state would be putting on the counties.
Governor Walker says he's hoping this does go through the legislature and reach his desk soon. Here he is talking about the plan this week.
I think so far the response has been positive, but I want to make sure that there's enough time to get this through not just the Assembly but the Senate. And it's something we stress to Senator Fitzgerald and others that we want to get this done. We think it's important to get this done yet this session.
He referenced Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who I understand has expressed some reservations about the plan. What are we hearing on the Senate side, Rob?
Right, Fitzgerald expressed the most reservations of the among Republican leaders. So the plan will be taken up by the Assembly. It will go to the Senate. But Fitzgerald says, and he's not wrong. You know, the legislative session only goes until March. This is complicated. The proposals are complex, and so he's expressed at least some concern that. Other state senators might need more information. And so that could hold this up.
We'll keep watching this story. I want to turn to another crime and punishment related story, Rob. The housing of sexual offenders after they get out of prison is a tricky issue. One particular case now in Forest County is getting a lot of backlash. What's going on?
This was a fascinating story out of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Our reporter Paul Shrubis looked at this issue in this tiny little town. It is in the middle of the Chequamegon-Nicolet National Forest, and a judge has ordered that a 51-year-old sex offender will be placed in a little cabin in this small town of about 300 people in the middle of Forest County. And there are complexities to it, but as you can imagine, the people who live in that vicinity don't want this guy coming there, and they question whether the judge should be able to make that order to place this offender there.
And the thinking, I guess, lots of sites were considered. This is a remote one where the offender, on release, probably won't encounter a lot of people. But locals are saying, well, wait a minute. That means, you know, we're not going to want our kids going through this isolated area in the woods. There's worries about tourism and bad cell phone reception. If somebody had to call and report this person, they're bringing up a lot of concerns based on the isolation here.
Right, absolutely. I mean, and there was a report from the Department of Corrections really cast doubt, said that this was not a suitable place to place this offender on the grounds that it's near a campground, and the GPS issue, the same as you described. So under the law, the way that this man has been committed, he's under a psychiatric commitment, and the state can hold him indefinitely, but is required to provide treatments to him, and he has the right to petition each year for his release, to make the case to a judge that he has made significant progress in his treatment. That is what the law requires in order for it to give the state the quite, extreme ability to, in theory, hold someone indefinitely. So in this case, a judge agreed that he had made significant progress in his treatment, and under a bunch of specific requirements, including GPS tracking, including specifics, he was allowed to be released. And this is how we got there. The Department of Health Services said that they looked at more than 3,000 possible residences to come up with this. With this location, the offender is from Forest County originally, but it raises this this interesting question, right? No community would probably want this guy. No community would welcome an offender like this, and yet by law, we can't keep every one of these offenders locked up forever.
And Rob, I want to turn our last couple minutes to a political story now in Wisconsin. It's an election year. The U.S. Senate seat currently held by Democrat Tammy Baldwin is up for election. Two Republicans, Kevin Nicholson and Leah Vukmir, running in a primary for that scene. Kevin Nicholson is in national news because of contributions made by his parents. What's going on?
Right. So Nicholson himself is a former Democrat. He got his start in politics as a sort of rising Democratic star. He was the president of the College Democrats of America, the national organization. He spoke at the 2000 Democratic National Convention. And then he was out of politics for a while. He was a Marine. He was a business guy. And his views on politics changed. He's come back as a conservative Republican in this race. It turns out that his parents, their views on politics have not changed. They are big supporters of the Democratic Party, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that they both gave the maximum donation of $2,700 to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who would be Nicholson's Democratic rival.
And Nicholson has been in national interviews. What has he had to say about that?
Yeah, this was, I mean, it's like, you know, it's personal, but this was in a, it's hard not to be intrigued. Mm-hmm. And on Fox News this week, an interview asked him, well, is it awkward at going to family dinners or whatever? And he revealed that he is actually not in touch with his parents. He said that that's a decision they made on the basis of their politics. And he's declined to give any more information than that. But, I mean, so we don't know how long they haven't been speaking, but yeah, it indicates that there may be a family rift there.
Interesting sidebar in a long-running race now. Rob, thanks as always for joining us.
All right, thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joins us each Friday to round up the top stories in state news.